And so let us pray. Spirit of the living God, go before us and unravel the mystery in the Word of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please sit. Few years ago, when I was in the theological college in Nigeria, over our training period, every year we were meant to go on what they still call it college mission. College mission is part of the process of our preparation for ministry. We will request to be granted to come to a particular diocese for a period of 1 week. We live in that diocese, move to the remotest part of that diocese and towns and city centers, preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I learned then, or rather what I still remember, that there are some preparations we made before embarking on college mission. One of those was a time of prayer, asking God to go before us. Because actually, some of these places we go to are places where people are visually idol worshippers, people who don't worship the Christian God. So we knew we were about to tread on a very strong ground. So we bring out a period of time as a school community, praying, asking God to empower us, asking God to go ahead of us, asking God to clear the ground for a successful college mission year. We go with relief materials as a way of outreach. We equally involve in local churches in the diocese, preaching the gospel, holding teaching sections, and we involve in reaching out, visiting them at their home, telling them about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, about his suffering, his resurrection, and the forgiveness of sin that will accord as many as believe in that name. So we felt they need to be preached to. We felt that they are one of those that God is preparing us to minister to. In our Bible reading this very morning, our second Bible reading, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, verse 44 to 53, where we read. In the 45th verse of that very text. But before then, let's look at 46. It says, he told them, This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead, and on the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. To some translation talks about to the uttermost part of the earth. But this very translation ends at beginning at Jerusalem. Another important thing I pointed out when I was going through the sermon preparation, why Jesus asked them to wait until they are empowered, until they receive power. Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 8 made it clearer. And you will receive power, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will receive power, and you will be my witness. So, but here it wasn't clearly mentioned, the definition Holy Spirit. So I began to ask myself, why was it necessary that they should wait to be empowered? One thing. They had been with Christ. They have equally, from the text we read, they have equally learned about Him. Through the writings of the prophets, like Moses, through the Psalm and the Scriptures. But they still forgot about this that we have read out. They have equally been taught when they were with Christ, but they still forgot. And it's interesting to note equally that Jesus understood that their eyes were blind. At some point, He opened their eyes to this understanding. It might not be the physical eye. It could be the mind of the eyes of their spirit. That very eye we use to understand, or we use in understanding the mystery in the Word of God. And that brought me to that point of asking them to wait until they are empowered. Were they just supposed to sit there waiting? What does waiting entail? Waiting in that context, I believe, is to be in a place of worship, in a place of prayer, waiting for God to empower them. That was made clear in Paul's letter to the Christians in Colossae, where we took our first reading. Chapter 4 of Paul's letter to the Christians in Colossians Christians. Paul pointed out the importance of prayers. Let me just take a moment and read those. Colossians chapter 4. From verses 2 to 6. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chain. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So, this text encompasses everything about this very thing Christ reminded his disciples, how they will get about it, like we did when I was in the theological college. They should pray that God will empower them to understand the word of God. They should pray that the door of ministry will be open to them. They should equally pray that they will minister through grace, not ministering themselves. Of course, where we read in that Gospel of Luke, talks about in no other name are we to go, but in the name of Jesus. I love that explanation in the scripture that emphasizes, in no other name shall any man be saved, but through the name of Jesus. I am not preaching my name. I stand here in that name. And it is that name that will bring conviction. It is that name that will awaken souls to receive Christ and bring transformation in their lives. So you are not to go in your name, one, in the name of Christ. Two, you don't just have to go. You should listen to the leading of God, and that will only come through prayer. Three, that grace will make you not be to exercise your own intelligence. You preach in meekness. You teach in gentility. You teach as one of those who needed to be touched by God day after day. So prayer is very, very important. And it is through that prayer that the empowerment will come. Jesus knew that they are going to tread on a very difficult ground. Of course, they started in Jerusalem, where I believe Christians were most persecuted at that time. That led to the spread of Christians all over the world. So, he knew that on their own, they cannot withstand that. He knew that they might, as they would have dropped on the way. Then they need to be empowered. Just like we, before going to those strong lands when I was in theological college, we were meant to ask for the power of God to be upon us so that we can withstand the forces behind this strange God who doesn't want the witnessing of the death and resurrection and the forgiveness of sin that will be gained through that, that will bring transformation, which was the real purpose Christ came to die for all human beings. Now we might be saying, well, what's this all this story about? Are we the apostles of the first century Christians? Are we called to ordain ministry? Well, through baptism, we all are baptized into the body of Christ. And as a matter of fact, by that baptism, we are all called to be part of this witnessing. All Christians are called to this, and it's Jesus' desire to see us live this out every day of our life, extending his kingdom to utmost part of the earth. Thank God this week is the week of thy kingdom come. The church is still in that business of making God's presence known on earth, a time of prayer. You might not be a good preacher. You might not be a good teacher. But I don't believe, because all the people Jesus called and used were not learned men. And we remember they forgot everything he taught them. They didn't know, so it doesn't depend on your human understanding. It doesn't depend on your qualification. It depends on your availability. It depends on your having that space, giving out yourself to be empowered. So all of us can do it. All of us are called into this. When the power came upon them, what would the Holy Spirit do? Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will remind us all things we need to know about God. The Holy Spirit will guide us in the way of truth. So that is all we need. And I believe that God has created all of us with one virtue, with one gifting or the other. All we need is to make ourselves available. Don't depend on your own weakness. The job in question is not yours. You didn't call yourself. He has called you into that. And he who calls you is faithful. And whoever he calls, he will empower. Just make yourself available. The question is, where is this man going to? We are part of this family. We are part of that calling. Our own Jerusalem is here in St. John. This is where we begin. This is where we launch out into the community. This is where the baton continues to go until we'll be part of that God's command to make his finished work at the cross for the purpose of salvation known to all men and women. Race not important, gender not important, age not important. The principle is clear. If you don't have any, go to Paul's letter to the Christians in Colossae. Abide and reflect on that. If you don't have any, have a time waiting upon the Lord, reflecting, have the desire for him to empower you. The kingdom of God needs to be extended. The laborers are very few, but the harvests are plenty and ripe. God needs people to volunteer into this, into doing this. We are in this church. We advertise for people who will be our youth group, the teaching children section. They need people who will, resources that will help to keep it going. The choir here, we need people that will join us in singing praises, declaring like we sang today. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ was in that hymn. All the songs we sang in our last, all the stanzas we sang in our last hymn before I came up here to minister. Through song, you can minister to somebody. Through reaching out, evangelism, one-on-one, you can. Through your personal life, you can impact into someone's life. So in one way or the other, we can find a place to square in the loop. We are doing much, we are doing good, but God still calls us to continue until his kingdom is completely established in the uttermost part of the earth. You might think, how will my impact in this very place, my small impact, make an impact? It will. From one person to the other, the gospel will get to China. The gospel will get to Nigeria. A soul will be won. So your little contribution is very, very important. And we should remember, that is God's command. Not only to people who are called to ordain minister, to everyone who has been baptized into his family. And his desire is that no soul should perish. And our sitting down without being part of it, a soul is waiting to hear our voice. A soul is waiting for our hands to touch him or her, for him or her to experience transformation. Our Lord desires us to be part of this. Our Lord desires us to be part of building up his community in elsewhere. Our Lord desires us to be part of what he's doing in St. John's Divine Church. Will you have time to wait upon him? Will you have time to open up, to have an encounter with him, where the whole transformation will start, and from there it will affect others? Let us pray. Father, this is part of what you have called us to do. We have done it. Glorify your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.